Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today we examine the latest headlines that show the stage is truly being set for the one world system. But first, it's time for a pop quiz. Are you ready? What is the longest continuously running radio audio ministry in the country? Is it Focus on the Family? No. Uncle Ray's Saturday Night Gospel Jubilee? Also a no. It's Southwest Radio Church's Watchman on the Wall. Do you know how that's possible? Because of you. SWRC and Watchman on the Wall are completely listener and supporter funded. If we have running water, it's because of you. If we start a TV show like Prophecy in the News, well, that's thanks to your investment in our mission and growth. We can't spread the word without you. Please, call today and become a monthly partner if you haven't already. 1-800-652-1144 is how you make that happen. Or simply visit our website, swrc.com/donate. That's swrc.com/donate. Know that your gifts, all your gifts, are income tax deductible. They're wonderfully appreciated and they're greatly needed today. Friends, how is the stage being set for the biblical end time scenario? In today's fast-paced episode, Josh Davis counts down 10 recent stories that span the globe. Did you know that events in Israel point to the reestablishment of worship on the Temple Mount? Advances in AI technology pushes the world toward digital IDs and a global database of every person? Arm yourself with this crucial information so that you can stand steadfast as a watchman on the wall.
Friends, I'm excited to bring a full feature of headlines from the end times. Now, this has been a staple of Watchmen on the Wall Radio for a number of years, but today I want to share with you 10 recent stories that show how the stage is being set for the biblical end times scenario. And so we're going to walk through all 10 of these stories, and it's going to be fast-paced as we cover a lot of territory from around the world. Let me also let you know, this is pre-recorded. So if you say, man, he didn't even talk about what happened yesterday or the day before, we will get to that, Lord willing, next Friday. We want to feature this segment every single Friday of something to inform you and to let you know of some of the major events and special events that show how the stage is being set for the biblical end times scenario. Not only is headlines from the end times a prominent feature of Watchmen on the Wall, it's also a prominent feature of every single Prophecy in the News magazine issue. I want to share one story out of the recent Prophecy in the News magazine in headlines from the end times. It's that number 10 in our countdown for this week. The Dead Sea Scrolls may be older than thought, AI shows. Now, the story says many of the Dead Sea Scrolls could be older than previously thought, with some biblical texts dating from the time of their original authors, researchers say. The first of the ancient scrolls were discovered in the caves of Qumran in the Judean desert by Bedouin shepherds in the mid-20th century. The manuscripts range from legal documents to parts of the Hebrew Bible and are thought to date from around the 3rd century BC to the 2nd century AD. Now researchers are using AI to glean fresh insights into the dates of individual scrolls. Findings experts suggest could challenge ideas about when and where and by whom they were produced. They said it's like going back into a time machine. And they're testing the methods that were applied to these documents in the 90s to see and to verify whether or not those things are true. Interesting how they're using technology. And we're going to talk about technology quite a bit in our countdown this week as we explore these 10 headlines from the end times. But first, let's go to Israel with number 9. And it's for the first time in 2,000 years, an Israeli mill is set to produce semolina that is kosher for the temple offerings. That's right, more pieces of the puzzle are coming together bit by bit by bit. In this story, it reveals that there was a groundbreaking development with deep spiritual resonance. The Israeli milling company has announced plans to produce semolina, specifically kosher and pure for temple offerings, including the mill offerings and the two loaves that are brought to on the festival of Shavuot. Now, semolina is a type of coarse flour, and it's made from a specific kind of wheat. Reports suggest that this marks the first time in thousands of years that a commercial company in the land of Israel is going to manufacture flour in accordance with the strict Jewish legal requirements for use in the temple. The semolina made from new Israeli wheat will be produced in a dry milling process that ensures it does not become ritually impure, which is a necessary condition for offerings brought to the altar in the Holy Temple. The first shelf-ready products are expected to become available by June of 2026, again showing how the stage is being prepared for a new temple to be built. All the elements are coming together, dear friends. Number 8 in our countdown of headlines from the end times for this week. The headline reads, Messiah in the Air. Ben-Gavir authorizes Jewish singing and dancing on the Temple Mount. Very fascinating story. Jewish visitors were permitted to sing and dance openly throughout the entire Temple Mount compound following a policy directive issued by National Security Minister Ben-Gavir. Now, this development represents a dramatic change from past practice where Jewish prayer, even whispered prayer, on the Temple Mount could lead to arrest, detention, or being barred from the site for months. For decades now, Israeli police have enforced strict limitations on Jewish religious expression on the Temple Mount, citing security concerns and maintaining the status quo agreement with the Islamic Trust that administers the site. However, under Ben-Gavir's new guidelines, police have been instructed to allow Jewish prayer and songs all throughout the compound, according to Israeli National News. Israeli Police Commissioner Daniel Levy reportedly ordered officers not to restrict Jewish singing on any part of the mount. One activist who regularly attends the mount reportedly told Ben-Gavir, quote, "You've worked magic since taking office," and went on to add, "This is a historic transformation we never imagined could happen." Dear friends, do you see how the stage is being set for the revival of Jewish worship and perhaps the soon building of another temple on the Temple Mount? So much more could be said. We have taught that here on Watchmen on the Wall, and many, many of our interviews with guests have revealed the possibility of the temple and where it could be built and so much more. By the way, if you want to check out loads of resources about Israel, about the temple, check out swrc.com. You can find all kinds of books and recordings and so much more that will help you to understand these kinds of things. And while you're at it, check out prophecyinthenews.tv to see the latest Prophecy in the News television show and to subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine. And when you contact us, please don't forget that you can request your free welcome pack. If you're a new listener, you've never reached out to us before, give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And just ask for your new welcome pack. We welcome you in. And here we go, continuing our countdown with number 7 as we look at some recent laws that have been passed, especially by the U.S. Supreme Court, that shows perhaps a return to common sense, a return to biblically based values in some respects. Number 7 in our countdown, the Supreme Court upholds a Tennessee law. Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, recently commented, quote, "By allowing Tennessee and other states to protect minors from experimental transgender medical procedures, the court struck a blow not only for common sense, but for the fundamental right of states to safeguard their most vulnerable citizens." He went on to say, "Predictably, advocates of the transgender ideology called the ruling heartless and a dangerous setback for the trans rights movement. But the LGBTQ lobby is now turning its frustration on the former Biden administration and the ACLU for taking Tennessee to court in the first place. Why? Because they knew public scrutiny would be disastrous. Polls show that about 71% of Americans oppose experimental medical gender transition intervention for minors. The activists preferred to operate in the shadows, far from public debate. That debate has now happened, and they lost." He went on to say, "But something even more consequential may be unfolding. This case could mark the beginning of the unraveling of a much larger web of deception. This ruling doesn't merely reflect a cultural detour. It may be the start of a national course correction. More and more Americans are tracing today's egregious policies, from gender-neutral bathrooms and men and women's sports to sexually explicit children's books, back to one pivotal turning point, the redefinition of marriage, which, by the way, this just happens to be the 10th anniversary of that landmark court case decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And could we be seeing a U-turn? Could there be a glimmer of hope? Could there be a glimmer of revival? And I pray that it's not just a political victory. That's cheap. That's not lasting. That's rather hollow. It comes and goes with whoever's elected, and the times march on. And yet we see that could this be a turning point spiritually for the United States of America? I pray, and that's my prayer, and I invite you to join me in praying that we see not just political victories, not just Supreme Court decisions, but that we truly see the heart of men and women, boys and girls, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn back to His Word, turn back to His truth. That's my prayer. Some other landmark decisions that the Supreme Court made as we continue on in our countdown with number 6, the Supreme Court ruled that states can exclude abortion providers from the state Medicaid plan. The U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled that states like South Carolina may exclude abortion providers like Planned Parenthood from receiving Medicaid funds, according to reports. Medicaid, which helps to cover medical costs for people with limited incomes, is a joint federal and state program. Did you get that? The federal government provides part of the funding. The state provides the other part for each of its own Medicaid programs. The federal government generally provides about 57% of the funding, and the state will provide the rest. Each state determines which providers are qualified to receive funds from that state. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, in accord with state laws that prohibit tax dollars from being used for abortion, determined in 2018 that abortion providers are not qualified to receive Medicaid funds, even for non-abortion services that they may provide. Planned Parenthood and one of its patients sued the state of South Carolina, claiming that the state was violating the condition that any qualified provider may provide the services. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the state of South Carolina, saying that, once again, they can exclude abortion providers like Planned Parenthood from receiving those state Medicaid funds. I applaud the state of South Carolina for taking this strong stand for life. Planned Parenthood, as you look at the numbers, they have increased abortions. The numbers have skyrocketed, and the other quote-unquote services that they offer, cancer screenings, etc., have dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. They'd always been low by comparison to the abortions that they provide, but it's gone even lower. And so we see that Planned Parenthood is, by default, just now an abortion clinic. And Planned Parenthood and one of its patients sued, and they lost. Thankfully, the U.S. Supreme Court held up some common sense proposals. Astor said in a statement, quote, 7 years ago, we took a stand to protect the sanctity of life and defend South Carolina's authority and values. And today, we are finally victorious. The legality of my executive order prohibiting taxpayer dollars from being used to fund abortion providers like Planned Parenthood has been affirmed by the highest court in the land, end quote. Number 5 in our countdown of headlines from the end times, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has signed a bill mandating the display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom across the state of Texas. Reports say that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has signed a bill into law mandating the display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom across the state, a move that has sparked national debate over religious freedom and constitutional boundaries. And by the way, Texas is not alone in this fight. Louisiana passed a similar law back last year, 2024. Other states like Oklahoma are making similar moves as they brought the Bible into some of the school curriculum. Other states could follow suit, reports suggest. So this new law, known as Senate Bill 10 in the state of Texas, requires all Texas public school classrooms to display a 16-by-20-inch poster featuring a specific version of the Ten Commandments. The posters must include only the text outlined in the legislation with no additional language or similar religious displays permitted. This is a move in the right direction, in my opinion. Let's continue on as we look at tech, and we go back to talking about AI, and we talk about how technology is setting the stage for the biblical end time scenario. But friends, before we get to the last four stories, I'd like to invite you to connect with us, swrc.com. And friends, this is the first time we're doing this segment, so let me just say, if you enjoy this kind of content, reach out to us. Please give us some feedback. Let us know what you think about this kind of segment. Is it helpful to you? Is it informative? I believe that it is. It's informed me as I was doing research, digging through story after story after story, and wanted to encapsulate 10 that I felt like were going to edify you and inform you about the kinds of things that's happening. If you enjoy this kind of content, would you pray for our ministry? And would you consider financially partnering with us so that we can continue getting out the truth of God's Word and helping people to understand how God's Word is coming into view with each passing day, as we're sharing more of these headlines from the end times in today's episode. And by the way, let me remind you, if you're listening to Watchmen on the Wall for the first time, please give us a call, 1-800-652-1144, 1-800-652-1144. Request your free welcome packet, and you'll start receiving a monthly mail from our ministry, including our Prophetic Observer newsletter, which looks at several different things, whether that's Bible prophecy or current events, and describes what God's Word has to say about those kinds of things. It's the free Prophetic Observer newsletter that comes to your mailbox every month, free of charge, as a ministry gift from Southwest Radio Ministries. Again, give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. And also, you can check out our website for loads of other content and resources, swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. Number four on the countdown of our headlines from the end times, we're going to be looking at technology. And in the Philippines, digital government has created a super app, they call it. It integrates over 1,000 government services in one mobile app. Reports suggest the Philippines have rolled out its digital national ID. Did you catch that? A digital national ID. And they're not the only nation to do this. There's many other nations around the world that are moving in this direction, a digital national identification. Now, some have suggested that the real ID here in the United States of America is a step in that direction. There's some debate from this crowd versus that crowd, this authority versus that authority, over whether or not it really is that. But you can see the steps and the progression that we're taking. Well, the Philippines are ahead of the United States in this area, that they have already rolled out a digital national ID. And they're building digital public infrastructure as one of the major proponents of digital transformation in Southeast Asia. The Philippines is a country of 118 million people. It remains a developing country with some populations that are remote and underserved, a significant portion being unbanked, and they don't even have an ID. And so they think that the national digital ID is a solution to these kinds of things. And so the Philippines is celebrating this milestone in its ongoing journey, this e-government platform mobile app. They call it a super app, now has integrated more than 1,000 government systems to streamline services. I'm going to describe what kind of government services are available inside this app in just a second, but a little bit more about it. This is like a one-stop online system. It's designed to strengthen the delivery of key government services. It creates a more business-friendly environment and enhances bureaucratic efficiency, according to reports. Now, this government app integrates things like their national ID. I talked about that national digital ID. It can be stored or accessed through this mobile app. Senior citizens ID, professional regulation commission ID, your e-health ID, electronic health records and identification stored in this app. Many other things that the Filipino people can access inside of this super app, as they call it. Even their social security system, government service insurance system, Philippine Health Insurance Corporation, other government agencies, all in one place. And look at how it's being marketed and sold to the public. And this is part of a press release. This is part of the information campaign that they are giving out to people. This platform links over 1,000 government services, and it was recognized for its secure, interoperable ecosystem, enhancing data privacy and efficiency. It's secure. It's safe. Those are words you're going to be hearing a lot of when you're talking about these kinds of things, especially with technology. It's more secure. It's more safe. There's something within the human being that is craving safety and security instead of freedom in these days and age which we live. One of the spokesmen from the Philippines said that while international recognition is pleasing, the real rewards are tangible benefits for citizens, such as no more long lines at dawn. If you've been to one of our prophecy conferences and I've shared the One World Update, this is the kind of thing that I alert people to. And I've been saying this ever since I've been at Southwest Radio Ministries, that these are the exact kinds of things that people are going to be talking about. No more long lines. It's easy. It's quick. It's safe. It's secure. That's always how it is marketed to the public to get people on board with these kinds of things. And the services are delivered directly to people's phones, and it will renew public trust in their opinion. Things aren't just happening over in the Philippines, thousands of miles away from where we are right now, perhaps. Maybe even some of you listening in the Philippines right now, and we say a special welcome to you. We know that this ministry reaches people internationally, and we are grateful for our international listeners as well. But even in the United States of America, we see this kind of thing coming, not necessarily the identification, but police and other law enforcement agencies are starting to roll out these kinds of things. I was doing some research on a national and really an international website, came across a story about a Virginia police department that launched facial recognition program under strict oversight. And I said, I live in the state of Virginia. I want to click on this. I wonder what town it was. And lo and behold, to my surprise, it was the small town that I live in. Yes, my own hometown, Bristol, Virginia, is doing this. And I said, man, this caught national attention. What's going on? The story is a lengthy one, and we're just going to hit the highlights here in just a couple of paragraphs, really, to give you the details of what's happening. But it's a move that says it's placing it at the forefront of biometric policing in the state of Virginia. The Bristol, Virginia Police Department has formally launched a facial recognition technology program that's designed to bolster investigative capacity while enforcing strict accountability and civil liberty protections. Bristol is a small town. It's linked with, you got Bristol, Virginia on one side, Bristol, Tennessee on the other. The state line runs right down the heart of our town. On the Virginia side of town, there's about 20,000 residents, and the police department's adoption of this facial recognition places it within a small cohort of law enforcement agencies across Virginia that are leveraging biometric tools within the boundaries of state law. However, the thoroughness of Bristol's policy, its publicly accessible documents, its commitment to annual oversight distinguish it from its counterparts. This report is suggesting, and it's really lauding Bristol for what they're doing. Although, again, I wonder, are we on a slippery slope? Are we opening a door that we can't go back from? I understand these tools could be used for good, and the Bristol, Virginia Police Department is trying to put handcuffs on how and when and where and by whom it can be accessed. And that's really what the article praises. And when they say Bristol has charted a path that emphasizes structure, consent, and accountability. Switzerland is preparing to introduce biometric ID cards. You've heard of the Swiss banks. You've heard of the Swiss Army knives. You've heard of Swiss chocolate and Swiss cheese. Now we're going to have a Swiss biometric ID card. Switzerland planning to introduce this new chip-enabled biometric identity card by the end of 2026. The country is introducing the new document to align with a European Union regulation which mandates that all member states use biometric ID cards from 2021. According to reports, Switzerland is not an EU member, but the country is required to introduce a chip-enabled ID card no later than 1 year after the revised agreement on the free movement of persons comes in to force the agreement on the free movement of persons? Well, that's what it's called. Current biometric passports already contain a chip with fingerprints and facial data. The Swiss Federal Police announced a few days ago that work on the new ID card is already underway. The chip containing this biometric data will protect against misuse, such as counterfeiting, while the biometric data can only be read when the ID card is physically presented, according to reports. Only countries with data protection regimes equivalent to Switzerland will be able to access the fingerprint data stored inside that particular chip. Swiss residents will still be able to use their old non-biometric ID cards for travel across the EU until they expire or up to 10 years. In other words, people have to get on board with this system. They don't have a choice. There's nothing else that they can do unless they don't want to travel, unless they don't want to go anywhere else and stay in Switzerland the rest of their life. Stay at home, there's no option. The country is also expecting a referendum on the introduction of electronic identities in September of this year. Something else to keep an eye on. Well, friends, we wanted to bring you these 10 headlines from the end times on today's Watchman on the Wall radio so that you can see and understand how the stage is being set for the biblical end time scenario. But don't let these stories alarm you or scare you. Let it inform you and encourage you to keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Our time is getting short. We got to keep looking up. We got to keep standing firm in our faith, and we got to keep sharing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us. And then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more by visiting our website, swrc.com. Thank you for everyone who is giving a gift this week. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. You can give today by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by going to our website swrc.com/donate. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com.